Even as far back as Aristotle, someone who predates the Christian tradition, there was recognitions that our affections are more often than not, they can be disordered. And by that, it means that what is meant to pursue the good often might pursue a lesser good or have like a narrow view of what is good, so only look at our self-interests and not consider any world around us, which has longer-term consequences. And that doesn't make us bad people, so to speak, but it does increase our difficulty when we are faced with a decision, especially if we are trying to make a good decision. Could be that we don't have complete information, but often we have trouble making good decisions because the various parts of our souls are misaligned. That I mean, just our intellect, wills, emotions, and what have you. Aristotle believed, and Christian St. Thomas Aquinas picked up this idea and developed it further, was that human beings could improve themselves through the practice of virtue. And so the virtue we're looking at today, and there are actually seven of them that Aquinas focused on. We did three over the past 3 weeks, so that would be faith, hope, and love. And now we're looking at what's known as the natural virtues, or the cardinal virtues, of prudence, justice, courage, and temperance. So today we'll take a look at prudence, which has to do with making good decisions. Aquinas also recognized the role that grace plays in practicing virtue. We have specific gifts from God that help us to make good decisions, and they actually elevate and perfect the other virtues and faculties of mind and body and will. So each of these gifts elevates our ordinary wills, intellects, and passions such that we can actually approach or move towards the kind of order that Adam and Eve experienced before the fall. Now, the idea there was before Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, before they had the knowledge of good and evil, all they knew was good. So their minds, their wills, their passions were all oriented towards what was good and all oriented towards God. Okay. So prudence, the virtue that deals primarily with the will. Our wills are in this curious place because they're there between our reason and our passions. And this order sets up some problems that moral theologians have yet to solve in a way that's yet to solve in an ordinary way that benefits the average person. And I was reminded of this a few weeks ago just because I was sharing some of this information, and the classic model, at least from St. Thomas Aquinas, was he was convinced that there was a hierarchy, and that in a well-ordered person, the emotions and passions would be subject to the intellect. So he saw reason as primary, and the emotions were secondary, and all of that. I was sharing this in a meeting with one person who said, "Wait a minute, I don't like this." And recognizing, yes, this that kind of idea does downplay the role that emotion works in our lives, because they can be very useful and very helpful. I reflected more on this concept, and particularly the fact that Aquinas, who is a monk in a very specific setting, could argue for the primacy of reason, and within his setting, he was also a scholar, that made a lot of sense. But for those of us living our lives in this world, we know that emotions can also be very important. They can give us an immediate idea of sometimes the goodness or badness of something. Sometimes they can be wrong too, but a lot of times they can be right and good and useful. For example, if I were to pour myself a glass of milk that is well past its expiration date, I would notice the separation. Curds on the way coming apart. I would sniff it and notice a very sour smell. And I would have an emotion reaction, which would probably be yuck. All these sensations and emotions would tell me not to drink that milk. However, if I overrode what my emotions were telling me at that point, to drink the milk anyway, Certain prejudices, for example, can be rooted in an irrational fear, to lead people to make very poor decisions, to say the least. And so what are we to do? Enter the role of prudence, the role of working out and sorting out all this different information that we have within our lives. And I might suggest that for modern times and modern people, that instead of this hierarchy, we might look at it more as a feedback loop, where it is our intellect has something to say, our emotions have something to say, and they talk to one another. Back and forth, and the role of prudence is to help to sort these things out, facilitate the conversation, so to speak. You know, the virtue of prudence can help me when I look at this glass of milk and everything in my very being is telling me, yes, this is spoiled, do not drink that. Say, yes, that is true. And it can also tell me that, no, certain groups are not more dangerous than others, despite the fact that I'm feeling this fear right now. Fear is a conditioned response that has no basis in reality and is actually quite harmful. Over time, given the exchange of information and cooperation between mind and heart, these two aspects of our being are more likely to grow towards alignment. That can be very useful. Now, at this point, Faith might be saying, well, okay, that sounds good, but this also sounds like a lot of self-help. Why would I come to church to hear this? I can just go to Barnes & Noble and go to the self-help section and sit in one of their comfy chairs and enjoy a good book. Even more so, we're here in church, if we can fix ourselves, what need is there for a Savior? Why would Jesus have caused the lengths he did if we could just fix ourselves? And in response to that, I might say that this process does not necessarily fix ourselves, but does not fall away. You know, prudence is one of those natural virtues that every human being has, and by practicing it and exercising good judgment, we can certainly improve as human beings, and we would be better off if we exercised judgment, but to be truly fixed, to be truly in the alignment oriented towards the good and towards God, we would need something more. And I've said before, we have these gifts of supernatural virtues go along with the natural, and they elevate and perfect the others. How might this work? You know, one of the virtues that we've talked about in the past couple of weeks is the virtue of faith, the supernatural virtue, and it reveals to us certain truths about God. Every person who's ordained believes that, you know, that proclaim and declare that I believe the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the Word of God and to contain all things necessary for salvation. So everything we read is something that can influence this conversation between head and heart and help to orient us more. It's almost like making bread. You know, ordinarily, I could take just some flour and some water, mix them together, bake them, and I would come up with something edible, come up with something that meets my nutritional needs, just flour and water. But if I were to add something else to the mix, a little yeast, a little honey, now we're talking. And now we've got some bread. Well, that's good stuff. You watch the dough rise, you can bake it, and it's really something else entirely, something extraordinary. So today, we had something extraordinary given to us. We can take a look at a passage from the prophet Micah, who God read for us. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So this is just one passage of scripture, and it's really one of my favorites, because it says so much. This passage, in particular, it can give you three criteria to help sort out conclusions between heart and head, between intellect and emotion. But I was struggling with my early example for a prejudicial fear, Is it merciful to treat somebody as if they have done something wrong when they are just doing the ordinary things of life? No. Again, no. Am I walking in humility by stubbornly clinging to my position when it's clearly against what I know about God? No. Matter of fact, it sounds like what I need here is a change in heart. And God, being merciful, loving, and just, is very happy to oblige when we need a change of heart. Help us there. But again, as you can see, this is just one little piece of scripture, but this piece of scripture can be so helpful and so important because when they enter into our deliberations, when we have information from our intellect, we have information from our hearts, when we are deciding and reflecting and sorting all of this out, you know, the words of Scripture can be, it's almost like a North Star, something that guides us, something that brings something extra to the conversation and lifts it up even higher. I could go on and on about the implications of faith and how they elevate the other virtues like prudence, virtues like this way of discerning, making good decisions. Just another thing, briefly, you look at our gospel lesson today, and look at what else God puts into our midst. Jesus says, "How blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. How blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And all these other bits of information influence what we know, what we believe to be true, what we believe to be good. That's only three of them. There are several more in the gospel passage, but all of them can be something added to what we know and feel, and then allow prudence to sort out the implications for whatever decision is before us. So yes, making good decisions is something we can grow in. You know, we grow in faith, we grow in wisdom, and it does help us be happier and healthier and better human beings. Making good decisions helps us in our natural pursuit of goodness in general. Probably because we can have conflicting information or just other information that needs sorting out, both emotional and intellectual. And then we also have to get the faith which elevates our reasoning and completes it, bringing it to perfection. We have all kinds of good information that's given from God through Scripture, through the church traditions. That helps us to do even better. So prudence is this virtue by which we sort out, we reflect, and we deal with this kind of information in order to make the best decision possible. It is something we do